Let's begin.
Welcome to Build an Agency, a podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, growth tactics, building businesses, and the events that affect your company. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the podcast. We are on episode 19, and I'm here in the studio with Attilio.
What's up, guys? How's it going? Long time no see. It's been exactly 1 week since our last episode. So, oh, yeah.
We got a great episode ahead.
Yeah, we've been sort of doing a lot of work lately in the past, what, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, with a large promotion, a large coupon email thing that we sort of ran. And so we thought that probably be a good idea to just hit on the podcast.
Yeah.
And may as well talk about some of the stuff that we've been doing research for and some of the stuff that we've been actually acting on this past, you know, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks that we've been putting it together. And this research was primarily for a it's like a $50 million business. We don't have to go into specifics, but $50 million annual revenue. So it's a pretty big promotion. It's a pretty good thing. So, yeah, I guess we can start with like a pros cons kind of thing and then maybe do some tips. Sound good?
Yeah, for sure. So
or maybe first explain. Off, yeah.
What is promo marketing?
So like promotional marketing.
Or yeah, promotional like marketing.
Using promotions or some type of coupon or special or gift card.
Define that, drag that out a little bit, and we'll get into the pros cons.
Okay, so it's like it's basically like giving away money to get more sales. That's pretty much what it is.
Sure.
And
offering a sweet discount to incentivize.
Define the word promotion. It's literally the definition of a promotion or the definition of a special event or something. It's something that you don't do all the time, and it's meant to either delight people or drive more sales or drive more traffic.
Incentivize
an action. I mean, there's tons of different ways to use these promotions, and they can be whatever. They can range from $10 off your first purchase to $25 off anything in the store to $100 off your first big job or something like that. It sort of all depends on the economics, I guess, of your business and your business model. Buy one, get one free, buy one, get one half off, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's sort of promotional marketing, and it serves
some other uses too. Like if you've got several marketing initiatives going on, like advertising in different spots, like if you've got an ad going on Facebook and you've got maybe like flyers going out or just trying to think of different scenarios, you can give different coupon codes and you can see which marketing strategies that you're using is bringing in the most revenue based on the coupon code being used. So you can actually use it to track like the metrics and the success of different marketing initiatives.
Yeah. At the same time. Right. So,
yeah.
Because you're getting different coupon codes, so you get to see exactly where they're coming from. So, I mean, there's tons of different ways to get analytics for them. And now that we're in a digital age, using like distributors, using advertisement for your coupons, or even using coupons as a lead capture system, you know, you can see some awesome results. Digital coupons are, you know, awesome. People use them all the time.
For sure.
So
pros, cons?
Yeah. So some pros right up front. I mean, it could result in like a pretty quick cash boost, right?
More people coming in than normal.
Or more sales, like more traffic in general. If you're passing out coupons, chances are people are going to use them. So, you know, increase your use rate. And if your coupon's a good coupon and you restrict it wisely, you should be making money off your coupons.
Another pro would be like, it's probably a really quick way to unload inventory, right? So if you're selling products rather than services, coupons are really, really great. If you're about to get a new product in, you need to unload like the old version of it, or you need to get rid of
stuff that hasn't been selling.
Yeah. Stuff that hasn't been selling very well. Coupons are a really great way to get rid of it.
Yeah. Or stuff that's like just taking up the back, right? Mm. See, like retail, one of the big things is how much things or how much margin things will bring in based on how much space they take up.
Yeah. Right?
If something takes up a lot of space and it's not making you a lot of money, it might not even be worth it to put it out in your floor.
Yeah.
So
it's costing you money.
Unload inventory, right?
Yep. Get rid of stuff that's not selling. Incentivize people to actually buy it and get rid of it and never buy it again.
Yeah, really. So sort of like sampling, I guess, coupons kind of remove some of the like sales barriers too for first time buying. So they increase like close rates, I guess.
Yeah.
So it makes it super easy. And I think every software as a service probably does this, but they offer their software at a reduced rate or even a free trial, like a 14-day free trial or something before someone buys it at the full price.
Yeah. So they can try before they buy.
Yeah. It's literally like a taste test, right? Like a sample. Mm-hmm. You taste it, you like it, you buy it. You don't taste it, you don't like it, whatever, you know, go do your own thing.
So it could also encourage like brand switching, right? So,
interesting.
Yeah. I think it's pretty important to think about this, but like if everyone's say you're selling dog food, we use the dog food analogy all the time and like educational stuff. So if you're selling dog food and everyone's using like Blue, and you want everyone to start using buying Purina because you make better margin on Purina, then do more coupons on Purina and people will switch to that dog food brand.
You know, that's interesting. I actually didn't think of it that way. I thought of it as pass out coupons to switch to your brand, or say like my friend gets coupons all the time for this one dog food shop. But I always use this dog food shop, but these guys give out way more coupons.
Yeah, so maybe I'm going to use that. If you're a shop selling like different brands of stuff, that's where this is applicable. You know, like
I was thinking entirely like, say I shop at PetSmart or something and I my friend goes to Pets Plus or something and he gets coupons all the time at Pets Plus.
Like we're a solitary brand that sells services. Some of these businesses are brands that sell the products of other brands.
Yeah.
So and that's where that's applicable.
Both ways, yeah.
Another pro would be like getting people in the door for the initial offer could lead to like add-on sales for items that weren't discounted. So like you might be able to upsell some things that you didn't even have discounted at all.
It's a classic like low-high technique too, or high-low even, where you show someone a low-price thing or discounts. I mean, retail stores do this all the time, you know. 50% off all jeans in the store. Mm-hmm. And then you go in for jeans and come out with jeans and two pairs of shirts. And they made way more money off of you because you came in the store and just looked around and bought the extra shirts. So that's a classic retail technique. And of course, you know, it totally increases or sometimes even attracts like your first time buyers. And I think that's actually one of the biggest costs in business in general is the cost for first-time buyers, right? Mm. Or first-time – your first sale is probably the most expensive thing you'll do.
Yeah.
And having coupons or specials or promos could increase your numbers for the long term, right?
Mm. Bringing those first-time buyers, they like their experience and they start coming back to your shop that good.
Yeah, exactly. I think there was a study from like Rice – about Groupon that said like 66% of people said that their Groupon was profitable. Yeah. The business saw 50% like redemption. So how many people used the Groupon and 30% return for another purchase.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a lifetime value to it. There's an additional like return or recurring delight that happened for those customers. Mm. And then they come
back. Your best customers are your returning customers. So you delight them that one time and you've got them for every other purchase that they weren't originally going to make at your store anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course some coupons are never redeemed. So they kind of just act like awareness, even advertisement for some of your services or some of your like products, depending on what you're selling, you know. So say you're known for we've been using retail several times today. So say you're known for selling, say, jeans or something, or you're known for your cologne, but you have an advertisement for T-shirts and shoes. And nobody knows that you sell T-shirts and shoes, but all of a sudden, you know, you start wanting to go check that out because – that advertisement's been out and around for a coupon. So that's kind of all the pros up front, I think.
Absolutely. So let's get into the cons. Coupons can be super costly if you're not careful. So you need to understand, like, what can you actually afford to give away? So don't include, or don't forget to include, like, the coupon services, like, share in your calculations and, like, see, you know, just make sure the math makes sense, you know?
Yeah, definitely see that if you're giving out coupons, you're probably either breaking even or you will be making money off of it. Maybe it's a reduced cost, but there should still be, you know, some type of margin for the coupon. Otherwise, you're literally handing out money, and nobody wants to hand out money, right?
Sure.
It's damages right there.
They also may not be, like, super sustainable as, like, a, like, promotional strategy for everything you do. Like, customers may only buy the discounted item and not something else. And new customers may not come back. So there is the opportunity for, you know, kind of like they said, like 31% were returning customers, but the remaining 60
just didn't return or weren't reported to return.
Yeah. But so some people might come in, just get the discounted item, not buy anything else, and leave. That is always a possibility. It's always a gamble.
Absolutely. Plus, this has kind of been our word this week. Cannibalization of existing revenue, right? So cannibalization is when, usually it's when one product stops the revenue flow from another one of your products. Not necessarily stops, but slows down or eats away at, hence cannibalization. But coupons can do the same thing, right? So if you give a coupon out to someone who's going to come in anyway, you just gave out that coupon for no reason. And that's how you cannibalize your revenue, right? People were going to come in anyway. They ended up not, or they ended up coming in, but they also had the coupon. So It's a waste.
Absolutely. Man, I really hate the word cannibalization
in
marketing. It's just,
I think it makes so much sense to me.
It doesn't sound like what it means to me for some reason. That's how,
me, it's like, I think it sounds exactly like what it does, but maybe I'm thinking of it and, like,
I just have a negative connotation with the word cannibalization. Yeah. Like, I think for good reason. I've always joked with Attilio, we need to do almost like a Pee-wee's Playhouse word of the day for marketing. And be like, today's word is cannibalization. And, like,
cannibalization. This episode is brought to you by
cannibalization. Like, you know, everything's going crazy. The couch is going nuts. Like, yeah. The furniture's dancing.
We got goldfish jumping out their bowls and stuff. So the next con is probably the PO factor. So it can kind of disassociate or even alienate people who weren't offered the coupon. So say, for example, you offer, or you have, like, a loyalty program, or maybe you have, like, a coupon for vets or a coupon for students. So it could kind of, like, give your brand a bad figure, even though it's not intended to. Yes, it could gamify. There's kind of pros and cons to it, but just kind of weigh it, I guess. If only 1% of your customers are some demographic, maybe it's not worth doing the coupon for them, or maybe it's very worth doing the coupon because you want more of that demographic. Maybe they're your best customers. So kind of weigh the benefits there. See how it would be perceived among your total audience, right? And then, of course, handing out coupons or giving any discounted prices. This is kind of like I feel like this is entrepreneur playbook here. Just don't give out discounts, right? But because people say it lessens your perceived value or the quality of the item, especially when you can afford to give out that much money or that many coupons. So there's a huge, like, perceived value game that goes behind coupons. So you kind of need to weigh it a little bit. You need to weigh what's going on.
I think that really, what that really goes into is, like, how often are you giving coupons out? Like, are you sending out, like, a giant coupon book every week? You know, like PetSmart, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know everything that's on sale. Like, are you like a grocery shop that's sending something in the mail or in the newspaper every single week? Like, I think the higher you're trying to go for perceived value, you should probably do less coupons, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do any.
Yeah, it's definitely still a promotional, right? So, and of course, with that is kind of carried in the like potential negative image of the brand. So it could make you look cheap, especially if you have like a luxury brand, or you're like discounting items that no one would want anyway. Or if like back to the luxury brand, you're giving off like $2 on like, you know, Rolex watches. That's like, are you kidding me? $2 on a Rolex? Like, come on. So, you kind of have to, like, the deal has to be sweet, right? It has to, have a high perceived value. If it's a sweet deal, people use it and people like you. But if it's not a sweet deal, then it could have a negative impact.
For sure.
Then, of course, customers could get used to waiting for the deals. So say everyone knows that you always have Christmas deals. They might just wait for the Christmas deals. I know that's how it is sometimes for Black Friday. Like people will just, you know, say they're a month out, 2 months out. They'll be like, you know what? I'll just wait to buy the TV until it's Black Friday.
Again, this is going to entirely depend on what industry you're in, your current branding. It's going to totally depend on what you do and what you sell.
And how often, I think, too. Like, how often you're sending out coupons.
I think, honestly, I really do think that perceived value is positively correlated with, like, how many coupons you give. I think the less coupons you give out, your perceived value could go up.
Yeah, I kind of think.
If you give like a few coupons out throughout the year, you could still have a really high perceived value. But if you're sending out the big coupon book every season or every month or whatever, that everyone knows what's on sale, what's not, or like you said, waiting for the big Black Friday sale, I could go buy, you know, that polo shirt right now, but Black Friday is coming up, so I'm gonna go and nab all that. You know,
yeah.
I can buy four for the same price in a month, you know.
Yeah. And depending on how sweet your deal is, the people with the discount might even crowd out the regular customers, especially if you have like a fixed capacity. I knew this was a big thing in like a restaurant industry. So say you put out a Groupon available for 2 weeks or something. I remember specific moments where in the restaurant business, you know, they have a fixed capacity where it's just like the lines would be out the door. Nobody liked being there because it was just like there was too many people. So that's very interesting. That's very, very interesting. As well as your employees probably won't like working with the people with those coupons or discounts if they feel that they'll be treated worse because, you know, they're not regular customers, or they might not be tipped as well. Just because the decrease in the bill size. So that's especially true in the restaurant industry. I know it as true. I've seen it as true. So it's kind of a little bit of a con there.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, like, I've seen kind of all sides of this in the restaurant industry, but it's totally applicable to every other industry as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have some tips, too. I think we have, like, 13 tips here. Actually, we might have more than 13. Hell, dang, we
stacked it high.
Yeah, there's just a stack here of tips.
But we'll hit these real quick. How about that?
Yeah.
I think these will be probably the best ones.
Yeah, we can talk about. I mean, as far as like pros and cons go, like the cons almost feel like it's like you're just sort of. I feel like it's the obvious cons, but it's like. Nobody tries to play to those cons. So
you just got to understand.
As long as you're aware,
you just got to understand your brand. I don't think this is overtly like complicated, but you never know.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the number one thing is the economics behind it too. So making sure you can afford each thing and
which we're about to get into.
Yeah. So some tips again.
Competing on the real value. Sorry.
No, I'll do it.
Competing on the real value you provide is always better than competing on price. So focus on promoting your benefits to the customer rather than discounting your price, unless that's your business model and you expect to do a great amount of volume like the dollar store. So Attilio, what does it mean to add value to your current price versus just lowering your price that you have?
So this is something really big that the like retail industry sort of uses. They do like the buy one, get one free, right? So that's a lot of value instead of saying, hey, we can give you these pair of jeans for $20 less. We'll, So that way you're expecting to pay $20 less for that pair of jeans, meaning you expect the jeans to be $20 less, right? So next time you go into the store, you're going to want to buy jeans for $20 less. So that's the value being dropped because you didn't provide a good coupon. But if you provide a good coupon that's like buy one, get one free, that's increasing the value of the deal because they're getting an extra pair free. They're not losing or they're not spending less on that original pair of jeans. So the value is maintained and they still get to use a coupon to get an extra pair of jeans. Mm-hmm. So it's the same as saying, you know, take $20 off or take, you know, however much it is, however much the margin is divided by two. But it's not removing the money.
Yeah.
It's building value for the product. And I think that's a great tip, actually.
For sure. The next tip is you need to really understand your profit margin on an item before you decide on the discount amount. So be sure to include overhead in your calculation. It shouldn't just be like the cost of materials, but producing like the item as well. So if you run at pretty thin or like profit margins, offering coupons could mean you're offering the items at a loss, otherwise known as a loss leader. So that may work. So this kind of thing, like you said, it works well for supermarkets because you can provide laundry detergent, Reese's peanut butter cups, and Bluebell ice cream if you're in Tejas at discounted rates. People will come in and get those, but they're also going to get like a cart full of groceries as well. But I mean, if you're offering a product and, you know, people like this is one of the only things you sell and your profit margins are really, really thin, you actually could be harming your business if you're not taking into account everything that needs to happen before you put out a promo.
Yeah, absolutely.
So really understand your profit margins. The next tip, always consider your offer from the customer's point of view. All right. So like deploy empathy here. Will they find it valuable? Will they buy more than the discounted item? Will they come back again after the initial purchase without discount incentive? Will they think less of your business because of it? So make sure your offer is really good and it's something that they'd come back for and buy at full price.
Yeah, definitely. You know. And again, this kind of jumps back up to the thing, like, don't look cheap, right?
Yeah, understand your context.
The discount has to be valuable, and it has to make people want to come back in. So that's like the offering $2 off on a Rolex. It's like, it just doesn't work, right? So the other angle would be to assess the impact on your regular business and customers. So if you are always busy on Friday nights as a restaurant or something, don't offer a coupon for just Friday nights. You know, maybe offer a coupon on Tuesday nights because otherwise if a ton of people show up on Friday, it's going to get booked out and no one's going to be able to sit. So that's definitely something to consider. And then, of course, weighing the cost of acquiring the customers against their lifetime value. So not just what you're going to make on that one-shot deal. Remember, this is a delight opportunity as well as it is exchange. Like, if you can think of it more of a lifetime value rather than a one-time exchange, your promos will probably make more sense too. I wouldn't calculate for the lifetime value. I wouldn't be like, hey, I'm gonna lose all my money on this one thing because our lifetime value is so high. But I would consider, you know, giving some kind of sweeter deal because if you have a lifetime value, that's awesome. Give a nice sweet deal. So, and then of course, don't forget that if the customer is smart, they are considering what it'll cost them over the lifetime of use. So this is pretty big for like, SaaS or like TV, Wi-Fi, phone companies or something. If you're just giving them like 1 month of free phone service, it's pretty insignificant compared to the long-term expense. It might help people convert to you. So it might be like, all right, fine, what the hell? I'll buy the 1 month or I'll get the 1 month free and then I'll just continue on with it. Mm-hmm. But it's super small compared to the lifetime cost. So if you're expecting to pay, you know, $700,000 for something, you know, and they're giving you one payment for free, it's like, whatever, screw you guys. Like,
well, I mean, I think something expensive like, you know, cable internet, like that's expensive for a lot of people. It's usually one of the bigger bills. So I think an example of us seeing this kind of in the wild would be paying for Hulu or paying for Netflix. So they offer a really awesome product at like $7-$8 a month. And so you give them you give someone a free trial, and they're more likely to pay for it later because, well, it's only $7.
Yeah.
Right. So they're considering that lifetime value. So offering that first free month, like, you have to determine like what price point is your product or service, and see if that's really a good fit.
Right, right. And then, of course, you need to consider the impact of the percent discount on an item sale. So if you are giving 1% off of a $300 purchase versus a $30,000 purchase, there's a good chance that someone will probably buy the item with the $30,000 1% off rather than the $300 1% off, considering like the trivial amounts. So that's something to consider. You know, you need to motivate buyers to purchase, right? That's the that's the ideal situation for a promotion, is that you're getting people who weren't buying to buy. So it needs to be sweet. It needs to be a sweet deal.
Mm.
And ideally, the perceived value should exceed the actual cost of providing the discount. So, for example, if a business model involves high fixed costs like a movie theater, it doesn't cost too much to give away a seat that may go unfilled anyway, right? So if you're expecting a half full house, you may want to consider giving away like buy one, get one free kind of tickets or something to incentivize people to come in. So that'd be something interesting as well. Consider your business model. So
also, like, set good limits, like, so set like expiration dates, like a minimum number of buyers like required before anyone can redeem, like first time buyers only, like restrict to like less expensive or easier to deliver services or small denominations that can't be used on the same purchase, like a minimum amount off per meal, et cetera, et cetera. Like, make sure that like people can't use this coupon to, you know, perpetually screw your business. Right. So like, it's good to give these incentives out. It's actually super fruitful if you're using these in the right context, but make sure this actually isn't going to be harmful to your business. Set the appropriate limitations.
Absolutely. And of course, if you're offering a service, the first time delivery of that service may be kind of a high cost, especially to the service providers. So if the subsequent services cost you less, then it may even make sense to pull in those customers for a first time deal, because your costs will decrease over time, which means you get bigger margins over time. So like, a good example of this would be, actually our business model would be a really good example for this, or even like a house cleaner. So the first cleaning is a little more costly, but the return, like touch-up visits, require less work. So this kind of works like search engine optimization a little bit. There's kind of like a huge overhaul, a huge load up front, where you need to get it to be return on investment friendly, right? Mm-hmm. So where they're making more money than your services cost. But then after that, it's more maintenance, right?
Yeah.
It goes into kind of like touch-up mode, the test mode, the testing mode.
Yeah.
So
your margins are going to be significantly less at the very beginning, and then they go up quite significantly in subsequent months. So you also need to be thinking about the long game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
For sure.
Those are some really good tips, man.
I think we have 13 business scenarios, right?
Yeah, there's some entrepreneur, strategic things from other people, which we can run through. You think it's smart to?
Well, where are we at?
They're kind of...
We're at 30 minutes. They're kind of hefty.
Oh, you like our 30 minutes? Did we go too fast for you guys?
Yeah, did we blaze those too quickly?
No, we honestly burned through those, actually.
Do we have any favorites from that list?
But yes. So I really liked at the very beginning when you were talking about using coupons to track events, I guess.
Yeah.
Track marketing efforts. And other than that, really there's kind of just perceived value. Make sure you're on top of your game, right? Don't use a loss leader unless you mean to use a loss leader. So the loss leaders are when, again,
your coupons negatively.
It's when your coupons are actually making you lose money, but it's because you're oh, dang. And grocery stores do this all the time. It's you get a sweet deal on milk, but then people will go in and they'll buy cereal, chips, they'll buy dip, they'll buy food, they'll buy this, that, and the other. Mm. But they saw the sweet coupon because you have great prices on milk, right? And you're actually taking a loss on the milk, but you're gaining money on everything else. So I think it's interesting, you know, keep in mind the economics of the scenario, keep in mind your business model, and also keep in mind if you can increase the value of the promotion without decreasing the value of your product, do that. Hmm. So those buy one, get one free deals rather than $20 off, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have any favorites? What do you think?
Definitely. There's just a lot of business examples of people using coupons to understand where their cash flow is coming in on marketing schemes, kind of like we've talked about like a little bit. But like everyone's really like finding ways to like use coupon codes as a way to incentivize the customers and really understand like your market, you know, and understand where your cash flow is coming in. And I think it's a really good, deal.
We didn't really talk about like loyalty programs, actually.
We didn't talk about loyalty programs.
It was kind of under a con. So we mentioned that like programs may alienate some people. So loyalty programs might actually alienate some people because they're like, oh, well, I'm not at the top. But if you like gamify the loyalty program, or if you like make the loyalty program like fun, or make it like anticipated, I think loyalty programs or even coupon programs that almost discriminate could be like super, super powerful if you build the community around it, or build a brand around it, so that it's like, this is gamified, this is fun, this is something that people are anticipating. You know, it's almost like when you get like your American Express upgrades for your credit card. Sure. It's like, well, I got the black card now. It's like my credit limit's through the sky. And it's almost like an incentive. They give you like lower rates and this, that, and the other, yeah. lower interest rates, whatever, or no credit caps, whatever. So it's almost like gamified. It's almost like like anticipating.
Sure.
It's like you're hitting markers, right? So if you could do something like that, I think that'd be really interesting.
I also like some of these businesses are utilizing like partner distribution strategies. So you partner with maybe like blogs or YouTube channels or just other websites that are kind of similar to your
value
niche.
Pack.
Value pack. So like again, pretend like so we own a pet store. We're going back to the pet analogy, and so I go to a chew toy review blog, and I send them the product, and I also send a discount code for that product that's special to that's like exclusive to that blog only. And so you're getting a review of that product, so influencer marketing, and those influencers are also getting your coupon code out. And so then you can also measure what is the ROI for spending a bunch of time sending stuff to this blog.
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, like super great learning experience, a really cool opportunity for another blogger to put out good content and also provide their readers with some kind of value. And so you really get that influencer marketing going. You get a lot of like brand exposure. Like partner distribution programs are super strong.
You know what's crazy? I don't like when people – sorry if I interrupted you.
No, you're good.
I don't like when people use two different metrics to measure success.
Okay. So
an example. Like one example would be like – say you run a promotion through Twitter, right? And you get 2 million views and your close rates are pretty low.
Okay. Right?
I mean, it's a targeted audience, like the vertical's there, but it's just like you're saying you have 2 million views with the low click-through rate. And then similarly, you do something where you're like, I'm going to have my customers, anytime they ask me for a coupon, I'll give them a coupon. So, and that's sort of like a culture that's built in, right? So... and then, of course, you're like, well, our conversion rates are really high when people are asking us for a coupon instead of us asking them to come buy from us.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, no shit. Like, of course, like that person is coming to you to buy from you.
Yeah.
Of course, they're ready to close and get a coupon from you. So it's just like you like and it's astonishing how many people actually use like two different metrics to compare or weigh success. Like, please don't do that, especially when the campaigns aren't even in like different, or they're not even in the same part of the funnel. So that's the other thing too, is like, make sure you're in the same parts of the funnel when you're measuring impressions or closes and stuff. Like, it's too hard to mess up, or it's too easy to lock yourself up on one floodgate when you should be looking at another floodgate. So, it's just, it's such a common thing for some reason. And I know a lot of you guys are smart who are listening to this. So hopefully you haven't fallen into that pitfall. Definitely be aware of what metrics you're using to measure success, where you're measuring their success, and if it makes sense to measure their success in the way that you're measuring it. Mm. So depending on the results you want, right?
For sure. I had two more things from this like 13 business example articles that were my favorite that I thought were applicable. The first one would definitely be a lot of businesses, they have a special coupon code for retargeting, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone's been viewing a product or have done something called cart abandonment, which is when you add items to your cart and then you decide, I don't want this anymore, and you leave them in your cart and take off.
Happens to Amazon all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I do it all the time. Like yeah. I think I'm going to buy something and I decide, I don't need this expensive camera right now.
Or you just get busy and you just, you know.
Yeah, but what Amazon could do for me, for example, I nearly bought a Nikon D5600 the other day because I really wanted it. And I left that. That's in my cart right now. And what they could do is they could send a retargeting advertisement and go, like, hey, like, buy in the next hour and you get 10% off the camera. And so then suddenly it's like
Prime.
I think I need to go back and buy the camera now because I get this 10% off discount that I'm not going to get next month.
Yeah.
So suddenly you have people coming back to their old cart and going, is there any of this that I could get right now? And I won't be able to find this at this price later. And so that's a really good opportunity. And another one is using coupons as acts of kindness to delight customers. And so what you do is you give like your employees a handful of discount codes in varying increments, and then you just let them surprise customers with them. So you can teach them, say stuff like, you know, we appreciate your business so much. You know, I'd like to give you this $50 off of your next order. Thanks for being such a great customer kind of thing. And then you can usually delight your customers in that way. So you can just, you hand like a certain amount of coupons maybe every month to your employees. Yeah, so like
your customer service.
Here's a $50 coupon. Here's a $100 coupon, whatever. And if you have a customer that is just super cool, that is just a delight to work with and is just a good human being, like $100 on us, you know. Yeah. And you can choose who you give that to. And that'd be huge. And those customers are extremely excited. They're already stoked on your brand. They're already cool with you anyways. And now they're even more excited. And now they're brand advocates. And now they're bringing in more money than they're initially worth. So,
yeah.
Crazy.
And coupons. I love to think of the pros for coupons. And yeah, there's cons. But, you know, if you play your cards right, hopefully you stick to some of these tips. You'll definitely be making money off of your promos, your specials, your coupons, and you know, whatever else you want to call them, your gift cards. So yeah, I hope that was helpful. What do you think, man?
I think it was a good podcast.
Cool. Very good. Very good.
Awesome. Well, I guess we'll cash this in.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week on episode 20.
Peace.